deep in the woods seems to be where a lot of these stories are sent in from. It seems, no matter if you're looking for cryptids, paranormal spooks, or just creepy people, the woods will definitely hold at least a story or two. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. It's good to see you made it back for another episode. Today I'm going to be sharing some creepy and allegedly true deep woods horror stories sent in by viewers just like you. As always, if you have a story you would like to share in a future video, be sure to share it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp, and stories like yours to help keep this show going on a daily basis. Now, without further hesitation, let's get into these creepy and allegedly true deep woods horror stories that'll keep you from exploring those woods down the street. I and some of my buddies used to go to this place called Profile Rock in Freetown, Massachusetts, late at night, sometimes between 2 and 3 in the morning. One night during the summer, I go to Profile Rock with three of my friends at 2:30 a.m., just to mess about and explore. Now, I did not know this at the time, but Profile Rock and the area we were in is part of the area called the Bridgewater Triangle, which is a site of alleged paranormal activities and one of the most haunted areas in the state that I live in. Continuing, we climbed Profile Rock itself, stayed on top of it for maybe 3 to 4 hours, and then we decided to leave. Now, as you are leaving Profile Rock, you must go down this long path that is about 2 miles long to get back to where we parked our car. Two of my friends are walking about 20 to 30 feet in front of me, and my other friend, now I will never know why I turned around, I did not have a feeling like someone was watching us. I just simply turned because, besides the moonlight shining through the trees in the certain areas, we only had cell phone flashlights to make our way around. I remember turning around and seeing someone running at us from about 150 feet away, full speed. What threw me off was not that they were running at us, it was how they were running. You know how a zombie walks in a horror movie, dragging one leg, almost limping? That is how this quote-unquote person was running at us. At first, I did not say anything and possibly assumed it was one of my friends or someone that was already in the area. Maybe they were injured and needed assistance. That was until this person made it to the area of the path where the moonlight reached through the trees and gave them some perspective. What I saw still chokes me up to this day. Have you ever seen a child try to draw a person? How they make a stick figure almost most of the time? That's exactly how this person looked. I caught maybe a 10-second glance as it was running under the moonlight, but I saw no distinguishable facial features. No eyes, no mouth, and no ears. Its arms and legs looked like that of an extremely malnourished person, only completely black, and it didn't look like skin or any type of clothing from what I could see. I almost can't even describe it, to be honest, and you could blatantly tell it wasn't a mask or one of those Halloween blacked-out suits. I recall calling out to my friend in a panicked voice, who was walking ahead of me a few trees away. I shined my cell phone light on him as he was walking where I was looking, and I could tell right away from his facial expression that I wasn't the only one seeing things. It was now maybe 40 feet away from us, almost the same distance as our friends in front of us. Me and my friend just took flight and started running. My two other friends in front of me shot around and asked us what was wrong, and I replied, "Just run," and all four of us jetted for our car. I remember taking a glance back as we were running. There was nothing there, even though whatever was chasing us would certainly be on our tails by now. We all hopped in the car, and my friend, who was walking with me, yells, "Dude, tell me you saw that. What the heck was that?" I told him I seen the same thing. I asked him to describe to all of us what he saw, and he described literally the exact same thing I witnessed. By now, my other two friends are thinking we are joking around or messing with them, until my friend, who was walking with me, swore on his father who had died not even a month ago. I was kind of frustrated, to be honest, because I did not believe my other two friends did not see it, as they turned around to question why we were running. But I guess it ultimately does not matter now. We went back there with a few more people the day after and witnessed nothing. Of course, I will never know what it was, or who it was, or what it wanted. But I know one thing, that there is no way two people both imagine seeing the same stick figure specter in the woods. My husband and I live in East Tennessee near Big South Fork National River and Recreation Area. While we have never experienced anything here, we have had a few odd things happen on our travels around the national parks. We have been listening to your show for months now, and we have thought we would share an experience with the swamp. When we were in college, we traveled to national parks every chance we got. In the summer of 2018, we took a small trip to Congaree National Park in South Carolina. I want to pause here to make a brief introduction to Congaree for those who may not know what it is. Congaree is an ancient floodplain, the largest old-growth bottomland hardwood forest in the United States. It has the tallest trees in the eastern United States and one of the highest canopies in the world. Congaree is home to the Congaree River, which floods the whole area, requiring the park to build an elevated boardwalk so you can get from point A to point B without having to wade knee-deep in alligator and venomous snake-infested water. So basically, it is a swamp covered in big trees. My husband and I got to the park midday, stopped at the visitor center to make sure we chose the quickest trail to get to our campsite, and we took off walking. Our campsite was over a mile from the visitor center, partially along the boardwalk before jutting off on a side trail through the woods. We found our site at the campground, set up our tent, and then explored the park for the rest of the day. We knew it was going to rain around dinner time, so we had left our cooking equipment and food in our car at the front of the park. We ate under the shelter as a giant storm blew over. By the time the storm was gone, the sun had set. At this time of year, the lightning bugs gather in the thousands for mating purposes, and people travel all over the world to come watch this event. What happens is that all the fireflies will light up, then go dim at the same time. During this week-long event, visitors are not allowed to use flashlights. So, here we are walking 1.7 miles back to our campsite with the only light coming from 1,000 lightning bugs every few seconds. There were quite a few people along the first stretch of the boardwalk watching the flies. The storm had caused a tree to fall across the boardwalk, and we had to crawl over and under and through this tree to make it to the other side to get to our campsite. We gave a heads up to a few people that we ran across that there was a tree down and they will have to cross to get back to their cars. After a mile or so, the boardwalk splits, right to continue the boardwalk trail around the park or left to go to the trail that leads to our tent. At this crossroad, in the near strobe light effect of the fireflies, we saw it. I do not know what it was, but it was there. 10 feet ahead, there was a white figure about 5 feet tall. It was not moving. It was just standing there. We had been walking side by side, but I stepped behind my husband so he could walk ahead. As we got closer, we both examined the figure. There were not any real distinguishable features. It looked like there was a head and shoulders, but there was no face, hair, or even an outline of a body under the white glow. As we continued to inch closer, the features never became discernible. We passed within 6 inches of this thing. I kept my gaze forward, fearful it would turn around and not have eyes or something. With it a few yards behind us, I built up the courage to turn around. When I did, it was still there, standing perfectly still, fading into the darkness of the trees. We made it to our tent without any issues and slept terribly through the night, waiting on something to happen, but nothing ever did. So, my question for the swamp, what did we see? Was it a ghostly shadow of a person who used to travel through there in years past? Or was it a lone person wearing a raincoat admiring the firefly miles away from other people? Or was it something different? I'd love to know. The experience that I'm about to recount is one of the most terrifying incidents that have ever happened to me. At the time of this encounter, I was 17 years old, and my family decided to visit our cottage for a weekend during the warm months of July. Before I continue, I would just like to specify that I am a female. My family's cottage is deep within the countryside of Ontario, Canada. I had recently lost a lot of weight because I had taken up the habit of going on long walks every afternoon, and I was not going to let staying at the cottage ruin my new routine. One evening, I decided to go for a walk for a couple of hours after dinner. Just as the sun was setting, now that I am older, I realize how foolish this idea was. For context, my family cottage is in a very rural area. There are barely any cars, no streetlights, and the area is heavily wooded on both sides of the skinny one-lane road that stretches for kilometers in both directions. At the beginning of my walk, it was still somewhat bright outside, and I decided to call my friend while I was out to help pass the time. Looking back, I guess I must have been so engrossed in the conversation that I did not realize how quickly the sun was setting. Before I knew it, the sun was almost completely gone. By this point, I was about 30 minutes away from my family's cottage on foot. During my walk, I only saw about 2 cars pass the entire time that I was out. Eventually, I told my friend that I was heading back because of how dark it had gotten. Just as I turned around on the long stretch of road, I saw an old beat-up pickup truck coming down the lane. At first, I did not think anything was off. In fact, I even made a joke to my friend over the phone that wouldn't it be hilarious if that pickup truck ended up turning around? In hindsight, that was an extremely stupid comment to make. The pickup truck sped down the road and out of sight. However, about 5 minutes later, before I knew it, it must have pulled into somebody's driveway and made a U-turn because it was coming right towards me, not trying to hit me, but just traveling in the opposite direction down the road. I was a little bit perturbed, but I did not initially think that anything was wrong or amiss. After all, there was a small convenience store that you could probably get to in the same amount of time, if you speed like a maniac. So naive 17-year-old me just brushed it off. But things soon took a turn for the worst. Not even 5 minutes later, the old pickup truck turned around again, and this time, it was clear that the driver had decreased speed enough to get a good look at me through the window. This time, I totally freaked out. I told my friend about the incident and was panicking. I've heard way too many scary stories on YouTube to know where this was going. I told my friend over the phone what was happening, and she told me to hang up and call my dad, who was at the cottage with the rest of my family. I did as she said, and soon after, I saw the truck make a U-turn in someone's driveway and come back in my direction again. The truck passed me once more, but each time it did, its speed decreased, which set me on edge and made me feel incredibly uncomfortable. After all these years, I still cannot fully describe the sheer amount of panic that I felt on that summer evening. Right before I called my dad, I was trying to figure out my next course of action. There were woods on either side of the street. I decided that if the truck came back around, and if the driver attempted to get out and pursue me, I would make a run for the woods in order to get as far away from them as I could. I finally called my dad and told them what was going on. I could not help but almost cry. He asked me for directions. I told him that if he made a right from our cottage and kept going for about 5 minutes or so, that he would eventually spot me. By now it was pitch black outside. The only source of light I had was the moon and my iPhone's flashlight. During this time, the truck made another turn and once again drove by me extremely slowly. This time it drove up a couple of rural driveways down the road, and I saw that it was idling with its headlights off. At that moment in time, I did not care if I was overreacting. I genuinely thought that whoever was in that truck was planning on abducting me. I have read countless stories online and have watched way too many documentaries to know where this situation could potentially lead me. Luckily, just as I was about to lose hope, I saw the headlights of another car approaching. My phone rang. It was my dad. He flashed his lights twice and I bolted as fast as I could to his car. The problem was, in order to make it to his car, I had to pass the driveway that the old truck was parked in. This was a moment that I just winged it. I did not care. I just thought to myself, if I run as quickly as possible, I'll make it. And if someone gets out of the truck and chases me, I'll run into the woods. Looking back, who knows if that idea would have even been safe. It could have been suicide for all I know. I took the risk and made it past the truck and finally to my dad's car. I opened the door and got into the front seat breathing heavily. My dad was glad to know I was safe, and I was glad to see him. At first, I thought we were going to start the car and bolt right out of there. But my dad wanted to do a test. He parked his car and turned off the headlights. He told me he wanted to see if the truck driver I described would try to make a run for it, or at least try to continue the search for me. After 5 minutes, it was clear the truck driver was smarter than we had thought, as the vehicle remained hidden. We drove back to the cottage and called the cops. There was not much they could do because I did not catch the plate, and technically the driver had not done anything to me. Looking back, maybe I was overreacting. Maybe it was a local concern that a young girl was walking alone at night. I don't know. But I do know one thing. The events that transpired that night did not sit well with me. My gut told me everything I needed to know. Better safe than sorry. I want anyone to know who is hearing this, that no matter how silly you feel about any situation, always trust your gut. To this day, I am 21 now, I have never gone for a walk at my family's cottage alone ever again. That situation has made me paranoid, but probably for the better. Hello, I used to be a police officer in the state of Ohio. You may think this is a made-up story, but I know damn well what I saw. So, me and my friend Dave were at a hamburger place. It was a normal area, nothing excited, nothing too bad. So it was about 1:30 a.m. Yes, for whatever reason, I remember the time. We got this call from dispatch, saying there was a call from a woman who had been hearing strange noises coming from the woods by her house. We got in the car and sped through the road. Well, we came to Rocky Road. It was very strange. We pulled up to the house. There were barely any houses in the area. The woman started saying how she heard growling from her backyard and a man screaming. We walked to the woods. We decided we should split up. I started walking and walking until it felt like hours, honestly. Then I found a clearing in these dang woods. It was weird. It was just dirt, but there were no trees or plants growing anywhere, not even grass. What the heck is this? I said to myself. I tried to radio for Dave. No answer. I tried again. No answer. I heard something and I turned my head in that direction. I do not know how to describe it. It was a huge, bone-looking thing. It looked like a human spine. It had bony feet that looked like dinosaur feet and sharp claws. But it was all bone, except its head. It was like a bunny's head, except it had a large, monster mouth with sharp teeth and red glowing eyes. This thing was like 7 feet tall. I could not run. I was absolutely frozen. I could not move. The thing stared me down. I started shaking in my boots. It stepped closer. Suddenly, I was able to break out of my trance, and I booked it out of there and ran back to the patrol car. I radioed for help, and Dave came running out. I stepped out of the car and told him everything. He, of course, did not believe me until I heard the other cop cars coming. I will never forget this. We heard a gunshot go off. We both jumped out, and there was a hole through the patrol car's window. I looked into the woods, and there was a man in the bushes. He was all bloody. He had no eyes, just blood covering his body. He stood up. He was naked, covered in blood, and he ran. Dave ran after this guy, pulled his gun, and told him to stop. I screamed for Dave. When two officers arrived, I did not really tell them what I saw. Dave came back, and he looked like he had crapped himself. We started to drive away slowly after all of this had been processed. I asked him what had happened, and he told me he saw more of them. I asked him, "What do you mean, more of them?" There were men, women, and children, all bloody and naked. I swear I almost soiled myself. His theory was the scariest part. He said, that thing I saw in the woods probably takes people and kills them and makes it into some sort of like zombie army. I am still pretty scared. I quit a year after that. and I hope it never finds me. I don't care who believes this story. I know what I saw, and I'm definitely getting out of this town as quickly as I can. So this is the story of my most dreadful experience. It may not be the most eventful, but just remembering it makes me shiver. The story happened in Central Europe. So to set the story, once upon a time as a kid, I used to go to a local mountain range for a special camp to combat my asthma with fresh air. I loved the place and decided to go and refresh my memories with my husband last year. The area is secluded and full of deep forest. We got accommodations in a small hut about 5 kilometers away from the old camp and decided to go there in the morning and follow a few tracks from there. The main camp building used to be an old stone building, an old hunting house for the local nobility. The house was desolate, windows were broken, roof fallen, completely abandoned. I got a bit upset, but we decided to continue to other familiar locations. About 5 more kilometers away from the abandoned camp was another place I used to love, a menhir stone. Just like in most parts of Europe, there used to be a Celtic settlement here, and though it is not Stonehenge, you can find menhir stones in the deeper woods. This one was about 3 meters, or 9 feet tall for you Americans. It was surrounded by a small clearing. We went closer to it and decided to continue around it, down the northern side of the mountain, and around to get back to our accommodation. Immediately upon passing around the stone, I got a weird feeling of being watched, but I didn't mention anything at first. I have never felt this way around there. These were my woods. We continued. Expecting to bump into other hikers, the place used to be swarming with people, but oddly, we saw no one for hours. The strange feeling was just getting worse, and the woods were getting eerily quiet. We have not seen anything move since we had passed that stone, not even a bird or a hare. And I noticed my hubby was getting a bit jumpy too. Looking behind us every few stops, my husband is a big outdoors guy, and I have never seen him nervous about anything in the wild. He is a big guy with over 10 years of MMA training, but even he was scared. We stopped talking and started walking as fast as we could when we turned around a rock and saw a car wreck. An old car with no tires and no windows in the middle of nowhere. At that time, the woods stopped being silent. It felt as if there was a whisper coming from all over, and some branches snapped just behind us. No words. We just booked it and ran. The whole remaining distance, about 4 more kilometers, we just ran. I cannot describe the relief upon reaching the hut. The owner was there. He was renting out his upper floor to hikers, and looked at us with amusement. We must have looked like we had seen a ghost. He later asked where we went. We said nothing about being scaredy cats, but my hubby would be too ashamed to admit that. We mentioned the stone though, and the guy said, "Oh, and from which side did you approach it?" the guy asked. We stared at him. "People say that on the north of this one, there is a Celtic burial ground, and there were more of them marking it." I do not know what to think, and I know it sounds cliche and fake, but heck, it happened, and we have even decided to not discuss it further because it makes us feel all kind of weird. So what do you guys think? Has anybody ever had a similar experience? Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true deep woods horror stories. I don't know about you guys, but I've been lucky enough to not have too many scary things happen to me while being out in nature. Hopefully I'm not jinxing myself with that. Anyways, if you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button, as it helps me out a ton. The more likes this video gets, the more YouTube promotes it, and that helps me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video. I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, Whether it's a story from the deep woods or something else, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that truly help keep this show going on a daily basis. If you're on the go and don't have YouTube Premium, but still want to listen to your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories wherever you go, you can do that absolutely free on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about everywhere else you download your favorite podcast online. And like I said, it's absolutely free to do so. If you guys want to support the Swamp outside of hitting that like button and subscribing, maybe check out the merch store. I have everything from hoodies to t-shirts to mugs to face masks. Currently, I have an exclusive 2020 Swamp Dweller Christmas design that will be for sale until the new year. Once New Year passes, it'll never be printed again, so get one before it's too late. I appreciate all of you guys always supporting the Swamp the way you do. Like I said, I can't do this without your guys' support, and it really means the world to me. I would love to know what story tonight was your favorite down in the comments below. I'd love to get a good discussion going. Let me know. Anyways, I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.